Okay, this is an opportunity for us just to be together and listen to a few things. You know, we could ask a question or help me know who you are. I mean, I know who you are. I mean, I met Martin. Oh, Geronimo, yeah. Geronimo, first time. Katie and Martin. And so, you know, Pastor Stan can help me. Maybe you want to, there's a mic that we can pass to you. If you want to, you can say who you are, where you live, and you can ask a question or give a short testimony.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe we, that's a good idea. We have some people here from Peru, Ecuador, Argentina, Mexico, and Costa Rica. So yeah, maybe let's start with Pastor Arturo, and you just like tell everybody who you are, and are you translating for him? Because I don't see you talking. Okay.
Mi nombre es Arturo Costa. Soy de Lima, Perú.
Hi, my name is Arturo Costa. I am from Lima, Perú.
Lima, Perú es un país donde fue Pastor Stan Collins con Karen.
Before me was Pastor Stan Collins and Karen.
Llevando el mensaje de la gracia y de la obra consumada.
And they brought the message of grace and the finished work.
Recibimos ese mensaje.
We got that message.
Él estuvo 11 años de su vida en Perú.
He was 11 years of his life in Peru.
Enseñando y discipulando gente.
Teaching and discipling people.
Ahora, hace 4 años.
Now, 4 years ago.
Él fue a Argentina.
He went to Argentina.
Y ahora yo estoy encargado de la iglesia en Perú.
Now I am in charge of the church in Peru.
En Perú hay 5 iglesias.
In Peru we have 5 churches.
Y esperamos seguir plantando más iglesias.
And we are hoping to plant more churches in the future.
Por la gracia de Dios.
Through the grace of God.
Who's next? He's next? Okay.
Bueno, mi nombre es Jerónimo, soy de Rosario, Argentina, y bueno.
My name is Jerónimo. I am from Rosario, Argentina.
Y bueno, así como decía Arturo, el pastor Stan ha llegado a Rosario para también traer el evangelio.
So now Pastor Stan Collins came to Rosario bringing the gospel of grace.
El mensaje de la gracia.
The gospel of grace. Thank you.
Mi nombre es Juan Franco.
My name is Juan Franco.
Soy pastor en Quito, Ecuador.
I am the pastor in Quito, Ecuador.
E inicialmente en parte de la iglesia en Guayaquil hace 33 años con Pastor John Hadley.
And originally from Guayaquil, Ecuador, 33 years ago with Pastor John Hadley.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre
Good
es...
evening, my name is...
Roselyn.
Roselyn.
Soy peruana.
I am from Peru.
Tengo en la iglesia aproximadamente 10 años.
I have been in this ministry for 10 years.
Y una de las pocas personas que conocí al equipo jugando basketball.
And I get to know the team playing basketball.
Y el equipo completo ministró mucho mi vida.
And the whole group of people minister my life
y la de mi familia
and my family.
Y es un placer estar aquí.
And it's my pleasure to be here.
Compartiendo con el cuerpo.
Sharing with the body.
Viendo que todos tenemos el mismo mensaje.
And seeing that everybody is getting the same message.
La misma visión.
The same vision.
Y alcanzar a los perdidos.
Which is to reach for the lost.
En el camino excelente.
In the highest or more excellent way.
Hola a todos. Yo soy Andrea de Rosario.
Hello everybody. I am Andrea from Rosario, Argentina.
Y conocí la gracia hace un año y algo.
And I met this ministry, Grace Ministry, something like a year ago.
Fue un sábado a la tarde por medio de Sketchboard.
I was a Saturday evening through the Sketchboard presentation.
Anterior a eso, había estado orando muchos meses por una iglesia.
Before that, I was praying for many months for a church.
Y Dios me respondió así.
And God answered to my prayers this way.
La palabra dice.
The word says.
Clama a mí y os responderé.
Call me and I will answer.
Bueno, gracias.
Thank you.
I have tears in my eyes just to hear the testimonies of everyone else.
I'm Pastor Jack Driscoll from San Miguel Allende, and Robin Moon made me promise to bring my wife next year.
And you better.
Pastor Bruce Moon. I just want to mention Jose and Natasha from Switzerland. Switzerland are not here. They had to take a plane, but they're moving to Mexico City, and they have a situation with their parents, both of them, and she's from Mexico City originally. But and his father's in severe condition in Switzerland. Anyway, they're going to be moving. We're going to plant a church in the northern part of the city when they move to Mexico City.
You want to pass that to Martin over there?
Me agarraron comiendo. English? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
English, please.
Hi, I'm Martin. I'm originally from Argentina. I was with the with the former church with Pastor Wood, and then we ended up here in the U.S. For a number of years, like 10, 12 years, and then going back down to Argentina because of family reasons, and then I ended up connecting again with Pastor Stan, and it really feels like the time between 2005 or 4, I don't remember, and last year that there's no gap in there, that that's the same message, same heartbeat. I'm just blessed that even through all of the trials that the ministry has been through, that's the same vision. The same, just very blessed with that.
Great.
Thanks, Martin. Yeah, maybe Dominic. Maybe you wanna.
Hey, I'm Dominic. I'm from Los Angeles, and I moved to Costa Rica 8 years ago as a missionary, and I did not realize that I was peddling the ministry of death, just raised in a very legalistic kind of way, and that's what I was preaching and teaching. And then one day I met Pastor Brent Helenga, and he showed me a more excellent way, and it was amazing, and ever since I have recognized that this is my home here in Baltimore, even though I've only been here a couple times, and you are all my family, and we're really excited about what God is doing in Costa Rica, so thank you.
Go ahead. You can share something about it.
Okay, so it's been an awesome time right now for our ministry for Greater Grace in Mexico. I love really just listening to Pastor Moon and the passion for and Pastor Driscoll also for the passion in the people's hearts in Mexico, and then in Costa Rica with like what's this. I was there in when was I there with you guys? In March. We had pray a lot for Costa Rica, will you? It could be a very key place for us. Just as we have also seen in Lima is a real key like location for us in Ecuador, Lima, Chile, and then right now in Rosario, and we've had like Martin and Katie and their three children were just part of our team for the last 6 months living with us in the house. And by the way, they're so generous. They furnished that section of the house, 5 beds, all the furniture and everything, and they left. So we now have 5 free beds, just in case you're like, you know, wondering where you're going to sleep next week. You know, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Peru, Ecuador, going up into Central, but we have a lot of countries, we have a lot of places that we still have to reach in those countries, and then we also have Paraguay, Uruguay, Colombia, Bolivia, Venezuela. Pray a lot for Venezuela. We're finding, by the way, this is I think what's going to happen with Venezuela. We're finding Venezuelans all over the continent. Right, because of the stuff that's happening in Venezuela, and I'm sure you guys are too in Mexico, we're finding Venezuelans everywhere, and I believe it could happen like this: like we disciple these guys wherever we find them, and then some of them will also go back to Venezuela, and we'll have pray for the stability of the government there, and that something really really special would happen. We even have Peruvians living in Tennessee now. I see you out there, Helen. So, I don't know what else I want to. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, speaking of Venezuela.
I just want to share a short testimony about Venezuela. Thank you for that petition there to pray for Venezuela. I still have a lot of relatives living in there. It's exceedingly chaotic, and then the crime is way out of control. Like ISIS is now a walk in the park compared to what's going on down there. But no value for life from both ways. But in any case, in the midst of all this chaos, you know, God is doing amazing things down there. And then many Venezuelans that have been Christians have become involuntary missionaries. They have migrated. I know of a few cases where they have gone to Panama, Ecuador, Chile. And while they didn't want to get involved in the church there, now they are missionaries where God planted them. But just recently I had a dear cousin. She got saved. And she's really on fire for God. And then we've been communicating, you know, her and her brother. Her brother was saved before, have bought all this equipment, sound equipment. He plays saxo. And it was getting dusty and spider web all over. But little did he know, God started using him. He joined this small little church. And the pastor said, well, guys, there is the Plaza Bolívar out there. It's a lot of prostitutes and drug addicts. Go there and reach out. And so he took his saxo, got all cleaned up all the equipment, went there, started playing saxo and sharing the faith with people. And then his sister joined him. Then they called me and they said, how do you guys soul win? And then the farmers Christian farmers came to mind. I said, well, we got this. And then I contacted Afruz, and then she mailed a box of 1,000 bracelets down to the church down there. And it became like an incredible, they were elated, you know, with the bracelets. They went all over the city in Margarita Island, sharing the gospel with people. So they want more now. But things are happening there. You know, God is using the calamity and all this horror happening there to bring many people to God because they're looking for hope. But your prayers are coveted for the people of Venezuela. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also wanted to just mention this. Most of our churches in South America are relatively small. I don't know. I was talking with my wife, and we just have a feeling. We just have something in our hearts that they're not going to stay this way. We're gonna work harder. Let's do it more. These are the days. Let's be dedicated. Let's pray. And let's get out there on the streets more and house to house more. We're in a really good area of the city. We just moved to a real different area of the city of Rosario, and we're already seeing results in our neighborhood, door to door, and on radio. Pray for our radio program. We do a daily radio program, and but I think this year, in Peru also, the church grew and then it plateaued, and but it should grow again. And by the way, Pastor Arturo is doing an awesome job pastoring 3 different churches in Lima. But he said, I love what he said, we're also planting and thinking about planting. And even as we plant, then we talk to those people in this way that we're going to plant again.
For the wrap tonight, Pastor Arturo, could you share in the wrap tonight? Good. We want to hear about that. Okay. We also have South Africa too here in our lunch, or no, Pastor? Okay, and Uganda and
Malawi.
Zimbabwe. Okay, so we'll get to you guys, Pastor, Malawi and everything. We'll get to you. Who else is here in our rap by invitation? Oh, UK, the UK. Okay, beautiful. Okay, great. So, all right. Let's talk a little bit about the tongue. Okay. When I was first on the team in Finland, you know what saved me from going crazy, and you know what saved me from quitting? Dee Dee and Jackie. And you know why? They encouraged me. They were behind me. They encouraged me. If you listened to me, you would say, oh my gosh, this thing will never work. This will never work. This guy, he's a Sunday school teacher at the best. He's my pastor. It's like, we're in Finland, you know. It's like, this is not going to work. It's not going to work. We had 10 team members, and there were people that said on the team, you know, this is not going to work. You know, it's not. But Dee Dee and Jackie said, yes, God is with us, and Pastor Schaller. I mean, we didn't even... I mean, I was just getting used to the whole idea of people calling me Pastor. You know, Pastor Schaller, that was like a new sound in my ears. But they believed I was a pastor when I didn't know. But I'm just saying, There is so much need for people to be encouraged. Like, there's such a need. And sometimes criticism is so easy. Anybody can be critical. It's so easy. Are you kidding? Yeah, people are filled with criticism. And you have to be careful. And also remember the little pizza illustration I gave in there about the guys in the pizza shop and the people in the town saying it's lousy pizza and everything? And how are you going to deal with that? You know, how are you going to deal with that? When people, it is your honor not to get into that stuff. They think we have lousy pizza. Whatever. That's none of my business. I make good pizza. That's all that matters to me. I make good pizza. I'm not going to fight people. And by the way, when it comes to social media, are you nuts? Ask your neighbor. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? Oh, that's funny. Martin, is that your son? What's his name? David? We could hear him all the way over here. Okay. No, it's like, why are you fighting with people on social media? Why are you consumed with it? And here's another thing. This strikes maybe even closer to home. It's Psalm 64. There are people that search out iniquity. They dig it up. They look for it. And they would be the ones that would find that Moses had one time killed a man. And as they go through the Red Sea, they just can't understand how God would use a man who killed somebody and deliver the nation of Israel through that man. But they are gossipers, they are talebearers, and they traffic in it, and they can't help it. They can't help it. And they love it when they have a group of people, let's say five people around a table, and they have information that they don't have. They have information that the other four people don't have. Yeah, so now they have a few seconds where they share the information where they feel important. And this is the only time where people listen to them is when they're gossiping. And they just love to have the attention and the importance. And the whole thing is wrong. And it is amazing. It's very hard to stop it. It's very hard. But if you ever find yourself gossiping, say to yourself, I am gossiping. I am gossiping, and I'm going to stop it. And just stop it. It's amazing addiction. People have it. I have nothing to do with it. I could care less. I don't talk about people. If you get to know me in our church here, we just don't even know. We don't even know what people are saying. We don't even care about it. We don't even know what they are saying. I'm actually in some kind of a bubble. And they, don't you know what they say? I don't know anything. I don't even care about it. Because if I've got good pizza, I know I've got good pizza. And that's the thing that counts. And I got people eating good pizza, and we're having a great time. So that's where I live. You may live in another place and enjoy the scandal, but I'm not in a scandal. You're in one. I'm not in one. I don't care about it. And when it comes real close to you and the police come and arrest you and you're going to be crucified the next day like Jesus, Jesus knew how to handle it and he knew how to live in it and he knew how to live through it and he knew what was going on because he walked so closely with his Father. And that's a great way of thinking. Okay, so for a little bit of a... Yes, Pastor?
I think I have a good comment for that. you know, one thing that we as missionaries can do is we can complain on the mission field about the country that we're in, which is equally as. And I found myself in that. I had another friend, another guy that was a missionary from a different church, and we would sometimes have coffee with our family. Our kids would play together. And we had a problem with our visa this year. And we just got into this, you know, negative complaining about the country that we're in, and, you know, they don't know what they're doing, and, you know, making it hard for missionaries. And then our wives, thank God for our wives. I'm saying this because my wife left, and I don't want her to get too eager. No, but they both said, like, you know what, if God doesn't want us in this country, no matter what the government does, we won't be here. But if God wants us in the country, then we'll be here. There's no need for us to waste hours complaining about it in our free time. And, you know, something amazing happened. We didn't realize in our Bible school there was two people that work for immigration in the Bible school. And they heard that we were having problems, and they said, why don't you tell us? You know, we'll deal with it. You know, you guys are doing a great work here. And within, I mean, almost hours, the whole thing was taken care of. Our visa was submitted. We didn't have any problem. But it is a trap. It is an incredible trap to just, whether it be gossip, but, we're guests. Like Pastor Monty said this morning, we're guests in a country. And why not build up that country? Why not? Because the people that we're ministering to will hear that, you know? Why not be edifying? Because they don't want to be around a bunch of complainers, you know? And keep the pizza good.
It's a lot about spirit, isn't it? It's like spirit, you know. It's a lot about the spirit of a person. And, you know, yes, we can get discouraged. I know that. But when I talk about it, I reinforce it. You know, like sometimes when you're tired, you can say, I'm tired. After I say it a few times, I'm even more tired than I was before. And after a while, I'm so tired. I'm just tired, and everybody with me, we're all just falling asleep. We're is just tired. I kind of believe in that. Same with sickness. I kind of believe in that, you know, like being healthy. Like the things I say, I don't know how it works, but it could be much more powerful than what we really think, what I say. Also, how old I am. Like, I don't say I'm an old person. I don't feel like that. I think I am in one way, but another way, I don't think like that. I'm so blessed. And what if, you know, what I say with my mouth actually has some reality? It's more than just words, but there's something in it. Like Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So, also, how about having a good day? You can have a bad day. I'm not saying I'm living in a fantasy world, but if I have a neutral thing, I can confess something. Like, this is extraordinary. I can confess I'm having an awesome time. I confess it. I can fill the vacuum with faith and with words and with spirit. I can say, I love my wife. And I'm not going to analyze it. Do you really love your wife? Do you really love and all of that? It's like, I don't want to live in, I mean, okay. Yes, there's a time when, okay, there's something, maybe there is something about that, but I don't want to live in analysis of life when life is filled with beauty and beautiful things. And the point about being thankful and seeing God, what's it say? Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And isn't God all around us? And don't little children see God? Little children, in the kingdom of God, you have to be like a child. You know? It's like you almost become like an idiot Well, Martin Luther said that. When he looked at children, he said, "Oh Lord, must we really be such idiots to enter the kingdom of God?" If you could follow the, yeah, I don't really know what he meant, but I have the idea that he's not saying they are intellectually mature. He's saying they are simple and enjoying life. And why can't I participate in that in my spirit and then in my words? Pastor Bruce.
Yeah, just an example. Artie.
Maybe 2 feet this way.
Yeah, just an example of what you're talking about. I already shared this, but it's good enough to share again. Anyway, yeah, the last year our church attendance started going down. And a lot of empty seats on Sundays. And the temptation is to get into negative cycle about that, you know, like thinking and trying to reason it out, and then people make comments like, "What's going on with the church? Things are not going good." And in December of 2017, I just said to God, "I need to hear from you." And that's like a problem. We're all yapping, or we're talking too much and thinking too much. You know, we don't hear God. And I just got quiet before God and said, "Okay, God, I just need to hear from you. What's going on?" And the only thing God said to me was John 6:29, that the work of God is to believe on him who was sent. That's all God said to me. That's it. And it was enough. Because it was like a rhema. Once you hear from God, it goes inside of you. My words are spirit and life. And it wasn't like, "Okay, I'm going to really believe now." It was like all of a sudden I knew in my heart that the church was going to grow, and I didn't really have to do anything more. And I became like I had a joyful, released spirit, and started, you know, like speaking faith, because when faith comes by hearing by the word of God, by the rhema of God. So I just started like not confessing something, but simply I was released, you know.
Yeah.
And I wrote you this in December. I said, the church went down in 2017, but I know it's going to go up. I know it's going to grow. And so January came. It was pretty a lot of empty seats still, and people were going like, "What's going on?" And I just had a happy spirit. I really did. I had a joyful, released spirit. And then February, just out of nowhere, just people started filling the church up again. And we baptized like 19 last time, and it was just... And it's been really great just having, watching God move and not us trying to think it out and reason it out.
Beautiful. That's exactly the point. That's so good. When you have a group of people that are positive, loving, edifying, it's powerful. And that's like Jackie and Dee Dee really with me as a young guy. They would be saying, you know, "Oh, God is moving here. And God, that was an amazing message, and we are with you. This is what God is doing." And I would be there like, "Thank you so much for saying, I'll never forget that you are saying these things to me. And these mean a lot to me because I'm holding on. I'm doing the best I can, but I mean, in my heart, I needed encouragement. I wasn't married. I was by myself in that way." And it's powerful. It's really powerful. I love it. And same like you saying, the church goes down. You get a bunch of people that are sitting around having coffee talking about how the church is falling apart and this is a disaster and I'm out of here and goodbye. And I've lived in that stuff and I know that stuff. But I don't think like that, you know, by God's grace. Whoever wants to be with me, we're going to be so much edifying and believing, and we're going to do great. We're going to laugh a lot. We're going to rejoice a lot. We're going to build up people. We're going to look for people. And if hundreds of people leave the church, I'm in a city with an area with 4 million people, and there's somebody that God will fill the seat with. And it's like, well, you don't love us. It's like, whatever, you want to think about it, that's your call. You know, that's your life. You live your life. I'm going to live mine and do what God wants to do. And if you have, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And if they want to be part of something where God is moving, then that's where we want to be, you know, by God's grace. And you don't get there by being negative and critical. You get there by being thankful. Remember last night's message about the bottom line of agape love is to be thankful. That's a very good word. It's like just being thankful. Okay, Pastor Rinaldo, did you want to, Pastor George? Okay, Pastor George.
If I say something like Baltimore is the heroin capital of the world, if I say something like that, even if it's true, I'm magnifying Satan's kingdom just by putting it out there. If we think that when Jesus said, all power is given to me on heaven and earth, and it is, and then we see the satanic kingdom, which is much bigger because it's broader. Jesus' kingdom is straight and narrow, small. But the satanic kingdom includes all the false religions, all the secular humanism, all the false beliefs, agnosticism. So, and God limits himself in the affairs of men by our free volition. So why wouldn't it be, you see things that are happening, but why magnify them? God's kingdom is going to prevail. We know it is. Amen.
Yeah. You can change the subject too, Pastor, if you want, or you just want to maybe introduce to us, like, the, just think that, well, there are the Latinos here, they don't know about what's going on in Africa, or, you know, like, whatever. You know, they might have questions for you, or go, you know, just.
Okay, Pastor Sam is here from Uganda. Many of you know him. And there's a lot that's happening in Kampala. Maybe he can tell you a little bit about it. They've experienced a lot of church growth, I'm going to say, in the last 10 years. 10 years ago, how many churches were in Uganda? And now there are how many? So in 10 years, they went from 20 to 45 churches. Maybe you can talk about that church growth.
We have a Bible school, and we go to different places and believe God, and God leads us to open people and talk to them, and they come into Bible school, and then they get training, and then after training, then they go back to those places and plant churches. But last year we came as a group, all pastors in the central, and we said we could now maybe begin to look at region by region. And we've been looking at northern region for the last like 8 years, and we have now 22 churches in that region. But now we are looking at the western region of Uganda, and so far there are about 8 churches now there. So again, what we do is we go to these places, do soul winning, meet people there, and then they come into Bible school, and then they are trained. And once we see the gift that they have, and then they go back and plant these churches. And so there are 75 churches in East Africa. In Kenya, we have a missionary in Kenya. We have a missionary in Malawi. We have a missionary in Zimbabwe. And we have about 18 churches now in Kenya. And in Congo, we have also in Kinshasa with Pastor Isaac Marcel, and he has, I think, now about 5 churches around there. In Rwanda, continue to pray for Rwanda. The Rwanda government closed this year 6,000 churches. And so it is very difficult for us really to penetrate. We have pastors there that have been trained in Uganda and are ready to begin the work. We had started the process of registration. But the requirements are so much that the government, you know. So pray for that. But we also believe that man makes rules and regulations, and God in his wisdom submits himself to those rules and regulations, but with love to actually save them that have made those rules and regulations. And so we believe that is going to happen. We believe that is going to happen. We shall have churches in that place. We have students coming in September from Tanzania. We've been having a work in Tanzania. We sent a one Bible college student there that had finished, the pastor who had started the training but then went back to Rwanda because he thought he was going to begin a church in Rwanda. But now we have students coming in September in a Bible school in Kampala. So keep that also in prayer. And so that's what is happening. And so we like seeing God working in quietness. And sometimes like seeing that slowly, slowly touching region by region and saving people. As the subject is today for the theme of the conference, the more excellent way is love. And I was thinking about Jeremiah 6:16. Is that way where our souls find rest? Is that way? And Jeremiah 32:39, he says the only way. There's that only one way that he put there, and like looking at the people in the world and the people that we see in Kampala and also in Uganda, bruised, broken hearts, and everyone running here and there, but they're looking for that one way as we speak to them. So, and we are glad and we are so thankful that they are finding this way. And we want to thank God for Baltimore, for your prayers, your encouragement. We come here sometimes with, you don't know what is going in our mind. Sometimes we come and you are overwhelmed, and you come with thoughts of maybe quitting, and you come here and you hear the word of God, and you go back wanting to go to many places. And so, there is that encouragement that we receive here by sitting and listening and hearing that word, that voice, and that encourages us. It's like what Pastor Shara said when we had just come. He said it's like an altar where we bring everything. It's like the altar of love. We bring everything to the altar and then go back encouraged and built up. And running. Sometimes we come crawling because of the situations and circumstances, but when we go back, we are running. And so we thank God for that. Thank you, Pastor Shah.
To comment on the 6,000 churches closing in Rwanda, there's something in that that's not bad. The president said the reason why I'm closing 6,000 churches is because the leaders are untrained. And he said, people deserve more. They deserve more than just being taught by someone that's untrained. He said, I gave you people time to get trained. So I'm closing your churches until you get trained. Which, on the beginning, I was grieved about 6,000 churches closing. But on the other side of me, I saw two opportunities. Number one, those people deserve a trained man of God. When you go to the hospital, you deserve a surgeon, not a guy who was working in a meat factory who just walks in and starts cutting. You deserve somebody trained. And then number two, in Africa, last time I counted, we have 29 Bible colleges. So this is an opportunity for people to come to our Bible schools and get trained and raise up more missionaries and reach more places. So hidden inside of this is a golden opportunity for us. Really, it's a golden opportunity. Because what will happen is other countries will begin to copy the same mindset that you can't pastor a church unless you've been trained in the Word. So there's an opportunity. There's a really great opportunity in the next 5 years. We really have a heart to believe that we could be, we're 262, I think, churches in Africa. We could be 300 churches by 2025. We could be that. As Pastor Sam said, a great vision to run. I like the theme Pastor Belly has of everyone win one, bring one, and then plant one. Plant one. Anyway, I'm excited for what God has for us in the next 5 and 10 years. We've trained generation after generation of African leaders in Africa, and they are the ones that are planting the churches. And there's less than 10 non-African leaders in Africa and over 300 leaders, so they are doing it. They are doing it. So Pastor Jabulani is also here from South Africa. Maybe he could say a few words.
Hi. I think there's just one thing on my mind, and I've been thinking a lot about it, especially when Pastor Shala was talking about tongue. On my mind, since I came here, has been this issue of communication, of words. Words. You know, and that is that no matter where you go in the world, at the end of the day, people, human beings go through the same thing. The emotions are the same. You know, in South Africa, in America, wherever you go in the world, all of us want to be accepted. All of us want to have a place of belonging. All of us want to have hope. All of that, and you know, regardless of how you categorize your struggles in your country or in your ministry, whatever you're facing, it may be termed differently. You know, it may be termed differently, but the fact of the matter is that everything seeks whatever that brings strain, that brings stress to our walk with God. We know it comes from Satan. It's as simple as that. And the only solution to get us out of the funk, sometimes, you know, as Pastor Sam mentioned, we are all at some point tempted to quit. We are all at some point, we analyze, we all complain, we all get into the motion of just talking about all kinds of things, and the cross is what gets us out of that. When we think of Jesus Christ, that's what gets me out of that. I always think of Peter, for me personally. Like, there's so much of myself that I see in him. And you have to look at the progress of his life, and you're like, at the end of the day, he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I think it's verse 13 to 15, that no matter what they say, you know, just be bold. Like, no matter what happens, let's just continue with the agenda of the cross. We can go into analyzing culture and the reasons why and politics and whatever, but we are ambassadors of the message of the grace of God and the finished work, and there's nothing else.
So good. Let me ask you a question because it comes to my mind. If you take up the cross, but your pastor does not take up the cross, let's say your pastor is not taking up the cross, but you take up the cross, does that bother you?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm really not saying it to you, Pastor.
Oh, okay.
Jabulani. I mean, I'm saying it to everybody.
Okay.
Like, think about it. Could you be pastored by a man that's not a deep man of God? You know, I mean, yeah, it usually is the case in churches where, well, traditional churches, and also churches where it's more like a business. There's a business. The church is a business. They have a program. They have a business plan. And the pastor is a good speaker. And he's a pastor, but I have in my heart, I take up the cross. I want to be spirit-filled and wise. So you got to get used to that idea. Not you, Pastor Jabulani, but the body of Christ. It's like, are you kidding me? Do you think every pastor is mature? Every pastor takes up the cross? If you can't deal with this thought in your heart, then you have to realize that there's a lot of Christians that are being pastored by men that are not that deep with God. They may not take up the cross. We have the benefit of saying, oh, of course everyone is taking up the cross, especially the leaders. No, it's not necessarily the case. But what does that mean to me? I'm a body member. That means that's his business. This is my business. Where is that? That's Romans 8, verse 6. They that are, listen to this, they that are carnally minded mind the things of the flesh. But they that are spiritually minded have love and peace. So I take up the cross in the local church. I have love and peace. He is carnal. That doesn't have much to do with me because I'm not carnal myself. If I am carnally minded, I mind the things of the flesh. That bothers me that man or woman. Another way of saying it, somebody takes money from you, you have to bite the bullet, you have to eat it, you lose. They take money from you and they go off on their way. And they are carnally minded. If I am carnally minded, that bothers me. But if I'm spiritually minded, I'm able to forgive them and pray for them. And it doesn't bother me. I see more and more in practical church life, people that react to the flesh. And that means to me that they are in the flesh. They are not spiritually minded. If somebody is in the flesh, like one time somebody said to me, you know, I go to this church and you know, I don't agree with what's going on there. I said, well, then you can leave, but don't say anything to anybody. You can leave and go find a church where you find you can fellowship, where you're looking for. And that sometimes is hard to find. You might have to move to another city to find a good church. You might have to move. Listen to that. That's amazing. You think good churches are everywhere? They are not. You might have to move across the country to find a good church. I would do it because it has a lot to do with my future, my family, my kids. It has a lot to do with my friends and also the day I get old and I'm in a wheelchair and I'm going to be in a good church. That'll be great for me. I'm going to die in a good church, I hope. That'd be a blessing. So for me, to get a good church is a high priority on my list. And to get a good job, maybe second or third. And also the weather, the climate, is not as high as where I want to have a good church. I want to have a good church is number one. And the climate comes in there down the way a little bit. Okay, so why did I say this? I said it because you could stay in a church and be critical of the pastor, and you are in the flesh. If you are in a church, you stay in there, and you want to take that pastor out, you could be in the flesh. Do you know what you're doing? That's one thing I don't do. I do not go against the pastor. I just don't do it. if he doesn't take up the cross, in a way, that's not, like, how do you make somebody do that? You can't make anybody do that. If somebody doesn't take up the cross, or somebody's selfish or something, that's their business. That's God's business with them, you know. That's the way it is. They don't do that. They don't live that way. That's the way it is. There's a lot of pastors that are like that. I would assume, you know, right? Read Revelation chapters 2 and 3. But I'm not, what am I on the, am I God's policeman? Am I on the earth to make sure everybody is spiritual and takes up the cross and every pastor is right on and takes up the cross and lives it? Am I, you know, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? I don't do that. And if you don't like it, it's tough. You go find your place and be wherever you are, and you pray for the church. And you live in the Spirit. And if you live in the Spirit, it might be that pastor might end up to be something a lot more like Jackie and Dee Dee helped me. Jackie and Dee Dee helped me, and they could have destroyed me, but they helped me. And maybe I'm in the church so I could be spiritually minded and edify the pastor. Does that make sense? I mean, you've got to think about it. That's your decision. I'm just talking from some experience in my way of thinking. But if you think you are to be God's policeman for greater grace and make sure the pastors are deep and mature and anointed and spirit-filled, then have a good time. But probably you'll end up being destructive. Because what they need is love and prayer and conventions, and they'll change and grow, maybe, little by little. But you don't know man's heart, and you can't control somebody's heart. And by the way, when they are carnal on Monday, it might be they're more spiritual than you are on Tuesday. Because you don't know. And if they sin on Wednesday, it might be they are eating humble pie on Friday, while you're proud and judgmental of them on Saturday. It's like, you cannot judge people. You cannot judge people. Mind your own business. Live in the Spirit and be loving and edify and encourage and build the things that remain. Because we have so much division in Protestant churches, and Protestant churches are known for this. Charismatics are very much known by it, and Pentecostals, because now the Pope is in the pew. Everybody, you know, the Pope is in Rome for the Catholics, but the Pope is in the pew for the Protestants. They judge, and they criticize, and they tear down, and they divide the body. And you cannot do that. You are to edify, endeavor, and build up, and encourage, and pray, and fast. If I'm critical of a pastor, and I'm not fasting and praying for him and putting skin in the game, then what right do I have to criticize him? You know, if I can't lay down my life and say, Pastor, I'm behind you, I love you, how can I pray and fast for you? Then it's easy to be critical. It's easy to do that whole thing, but why not just be quiet? God is infinitely everywhere, and I can be infinitely quiet. Just be quiet, and let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying. We've heard that verse for decades, but now we really need to apply it. Okay? There's a good word to close on. Amen. You can go. God bless you. Hey, was there a country we missed in here? Oh, the UK. Yeah. Are you all right? You're good. Pastor Mati, were you in this meeting too? Did you want to say something?
No.
Okay. Okay, thank you.